This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James, and today our special guest is Kurt Blades. Kurt is with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. We'll check in on how equipment sales are going this summer. That's on the way. First off, Megan Schweitzer, USDA economist with food price numbers from the CPI.
Food at home or grocery prices grew by 0.3% in July and were 1.1% higher than they were in July of 2023. Food away from home prices rose by 0.2% in July and were 4.1% higher than they were at this time last year. And so overall food prices, both grocery and restaurants, rose by 0.3% in July and were 2.2% higher than they were a year ago.
This is the Agribusiness Report. I'm Tony St. James. Today, our special guest is Kurt Blades. Kurt is Senior Vice President of Agricultural Services with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, AEM. And Kurt, welcome back to the show.
You bet. Thanks for having me on today.
Okay. Let's jump in. We get to talk to you nearly every month because we get some numbers back on the sales of tractors and combines pretty much generally, but tractors, we break those down by horsepower, small utility, all the way up to the ones that we're really using in the field. So how would you rate the sales over the past month?
Well, as you know, the Association of Equipment Manufacturers, we, for the last 30 or so years, we produce what we call Tractor and Combine Report. Some would call it the Flash Report. And it does provide a year to date and a month over month compared to the year previous of tractor sales. And, you know, it should come as no surprise to any of your viewers or listeners that the ag market's a little tough right now. And that's reflected in the tractor and combine sales. In fact, for the month of July, we're down about 15% by where we were this time last year for the month of July. And we're about 13% down year to date compared to where we were this time last year. So it's not all great news right now, as many of your farmer listeners will say, that they're under a lot of pressure right now.
Sure. In our previous conversations, we've talked about some of the changes over time. And, you know, I've been watching like steel prices coming off of their highs, but we saw spikes back during the pandemic. We also saw spikes when it came to equipment purchases, right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, that's an incredibly relevant point when you look at the month to month data and the year over year data. It's because, you know, 1 month does not a trend make. And as you correctly said, during the pandemic, we saw dramatic growth in tractors and combine sales. So we're comparing numbers off of what were really high numbers to begin with. So to see these declines, obviously that causes some concerns, but it's also, we're coming off of some high numbers. So when you look at the long-term view of agriculture, looking back 5 years or looking ahead 5 years, there's still lots of room for optimism. However, you know, right now we're dealing with, you know, kind of, you know, a lot of uncertainty in the ag market, and that's reflected in the capital market, in the capital equipment market specifically.
Well, I think uncertainty probably is one of the major challenges that's probably facing the industry. Mm-hmm. If you were to just kind of jot down a few from a 30,000 foot level, what are some of the biggest challenges we're seeing right now?
Well, I mean, you can point to a number of them. The number one thing is going to be commodity prices. I mean, if we're selling, you know, corn and soybeans today that are right at or below the cost of production, that's a real problem. But then you have to go into what's leading to some of those things. Obviously, there's some dark storm clouds out there, whether it's trade issues, whether it's global, you know, politics that are figuring into it, whether it's uncertainty in the biofuels market, the lack of a farm bill, interest rates. You can just kind of go through a whole lot of factors that are leading to, you know, sort of that malaise that the farm community might be feeling right now. Couple that with maybe some of the demand was met during the pandemic when times were a little bit better. So, you know, maybe the fleet can stand another year. So all of these things kind of combine to these numbers showing up. But I'll tell you what, I'm a farm kid, and I just drove through Nebraska and through Missouri earlier in the week, and there are beautiful crops in the field. And nothing puts a smile on a farm kid's face more, or a farmer that is planting their fields more, than harvesting a bountiful crop. And it looks like we're going to have a great crop. It would be great if those commodity prices were a little bit higher, but that does absolutely affect the psyche of farmers, and we fully expect that to be reflected in the markets in the coming months.
Okay, affecting the psyche is one. I mean, we've got some challenges for producers, farmers, ranchers, as well as manufacturers, and that's the uncertainty of what's coming after some tax credits expire, and just the future of tax policy, especially as we're now, I can't even keep up with how far in debt the nation is. Has that been on the radar?
It absolutely has been. I mean, I'm sitting here in Des Moines, Iowa today, where the House Ways and Means Committee is actually just down the street at the Iowa State Fair doing a listening session specifically on those topics. Our association and others in the industry are very keenly paying attention to these concerns. There's some stuff set to expire that many farm businesses take significant advantage of, as well as the manufacturers taking a lot of advantage of, and the dealers. So if at the end of the day, all of these are ran as businesses, and that tax burden does become part of that factor, whether it's a decision to operate in a certain state or a certain region, or the ability for a machine to be sold at a certain price. The taxes are part of that. So, I applaud the Ways and Means Committee for listening to farmers here in the Midwest to hear those stories loud and clear. And we'll see what comes out of that. But boy, there's some add that to that uncertainty list that I rattled off before. Some of those storm clouds, that's on the list as well.
Well, if you've got storm clouds, then there's a chance you'll get some beneficial moisture as well. So what are some of the biggest opportunities moving ahead?
Well, again, short term, I think we're kind of laser focused on commodity prices in the short term. But long term, I just get so excited when I talk about the long term of agriculture. And you think about the technology that's being employed in modern machines today, where they're able to sip diesel fuel and produce a whole lot of horsepower. That's pretty great. And you see the productivity gains that farmers can take advantage of by adopting that latest and greatest technology, both from a productivity standpoint, from an operational efficiency standpoint, and from a sustainability standpoint. Those are pretty darned exciting. You couple that with opportunities of, the fact is food is so important. Sounds silly, but, our population around the world continues to grow, and people like to eat more, and they like to eat better. So there's always a spot for food around the world. Add to that some of the excitement that's happening in the biofuels market, whether that's renewable aviation fuel, or even continued focus on biofuels, biodiesel. That provides a lot of opportunities for the farm community and for agriculture in general to supply participate in markets we haven't participated in the past. So I get really excited about the long term. I think it's safe to say there's probably some rough roads ahead for the next, 6 months, a couple of years. But I get really excited about the long term. As agriculture in the United States, we feed the world, and we are better at producing crops than anybody else in the world. That advantage is going to continue to play as long as we are, afforded the opportunity to participate in these global markets.
This next question's not in particular about, one group, but just more as an industry in general. I mean, you roll back the clock 50 years, and some of the equipment that we're using today, we could have never imagined. And so look in that crystal ball, if you don't mind. Maybe this is something coming. Maybe it's something you're just dreaming about. But as you look into the crystal ball, what would you like to see for the industry?
Well, I'll tell you, I'm not a prognosticator of what's going to happen in the future. But, for those of your listeners that are viewing this on video, if you look over my shoulder, you'll see a couple of model tractors that were actually my father's toys when he was growing up. One of them is a corn picker that is over the top of a tractor, and the other is an early pool type combine. My dad tells me the story that pool top combine he has the toy of, was the first machine he and his dad bought together when they were farming. It had a 36-inch header. So you think about that, 36 inches, that's roughly a, you know, a yard. And you think about a header today that is 60 foot long. That efficiency gain in one generation is pretty amazing. So if you think about the form of that tractor, the form of that harvester, the form of that technology, how it has remained roughly the same, even though they look very different, it's still a single power source that drives the machine through. Now, if you look at what that could look like moving forward when you apply technology or different power sources or other bits of technology, boy, it becomes really exciting. And what that means for a farmer's operational efficiency and the data that comes with that machine, it's pretty exciting. And that all of a sudden you have generations of knowledge that's been transferred down from, you know, farming that same field and institutional knowledge, now having the data to back that up to make intelligent decisions on an individual acre or an individual plant. Boy, it's going to be exciting what we can get out of the land.
Good points. Last one. I'm going to give you a full 60 seconds on the clock. Let's see if you can get through it.
Let's see if I can stay within 60 seconds, Tony.
Commodity Classic coming up in Denver. It's teed up. Take it.
Commodity Classic's one of my favorite things to talk about. In fact, if we look to the end of February, the beginning of March, when the best and brightest farmers are coming together to see the latest and greatest technology. This year it's going to be in Denver, and we're starting on a Sunday with some great programming, and then Monday and Tuesday with a fantastic trade show. Registration is going to be opening up very soon, and I encourage all of your listeners and viewers to make plans to attend Commodity Classic. If you've never attended in the past, you'd be amazed at how great of a community you'll find there of like-minded farming business professionals to be a part of this conversation when things are actually happening, to look towards the future and see how we're making a difference in the world.
Kurt, always great to see you. Thanks for your time. And if we want to keep up with AEM, how do we find you online?
The best way to look up AEM is to go to our website, aem.org. And there you'll find a whole lot of information about our organization, as well as a whole host of information that we're doing that speaks to industry positions and that are really trying to tell that story of modern production agriculture around the world.
AEM.org. Kurt Blades, Senior Vice President of Agricultural Services with the Association of Equipment Manufacturers. And this is the Agribusiness Report.
Truck owners, want to turn your truck into the ultimate workhorse or off-road beast? The possibilities are endless in making your truck more versatile, more fun, and higher performing. When it comes to equipping your truck, there's only one name you need to know. Rascal Supply. North Highway 87 between 98th and 114th Streets in Lubbock, or call 806-300-8007. For all your truck accessories, Rascal takes your truck to the next level.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Agribusiness Report. Again, our special guest today, Kurt Blades, Association of Equipment Manufacturers.
Let's talk about supply chains. Each year, Cotton Incorporated's global supply chain marketing team has hundreds of meetings with brands and retailers in all corners of the globe. They're working to find innovative ways to replace synthetic fabrics with natural, sustainable cotton. To expand your customer base and drive more demand. You grow the cotton. The Cotton Research and Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
In this heat, you're concerned about both the health of your animals and their performance. Strobel Super Shades can reduce the dangerous ground temperatures 30 degrees or more. Strobel Super Shades, the best-built cattle shades in the industry, available in 40 by 40 with 1,600 square feet of shade, or 20 by 20, proven to protect your cattle and increase your gains. Go to StrobelShades.com for more. StrobelShades.com. Welcome back. You're listening to our comprehensive look at agribusiness news, markets, and weather. It's the Agribusiness Report.
The Texas Corn Producers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members, or strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit texascorn.org and become a member today.
Attention, High Plains landowners. The Sandhill Area Research Association is looking for 50 playa lakes in need of restoration. This project brings free resources to you and includes a per-acre incentive. Playas matter today for our ecosystem and for tomorrow's water supply. To learn more, visit playasworkfortexans.com. Together, we can leave a legacy of water for future generations.
It's the Agribusiness Report.
Before we complain about rising food prices, one expert says we should compare the inflation rate for food to the inflation rate for the general economy. USDA economist Megan Schweitzer says if you do that, here is what you find.
Price growth for food has been below the overall rate of inflation for the past 9 months, and grocery price inflation has been below the overall rate of inflation for the past 12 months.
The latest Consumer Price Index says grocery store food prices went up in July by only 0.3%, leaving them only 1.1% higher than a year ago. And in fact, some products are selling for less than this time a year ago.
And those are fish and seafood, which prices were down by 1.6%. Fresh fruits, prices were 1.2% lower. And then dairy products, prices were down by 0.2%. And other meats, prices were down by 0.1%.
But we're paying 4.5% more for beef, almost 20% more for eggs. Gary Crawford, Washington.